I am not sure if you knew that you have been given three from Jesus himself. Three invitations. Those invitations were not just three invitations for the disciples. They are three invitations for every disciple since he first gave the invitations. That means if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, these invitations are yours today too. And I hope and pray you will take them seriously. We are kicking off this morning, so to speak, a new sermon series called The Who, What, Where, When, and Why of the Church. The who, what, where, when, and why of the church. Why are we here? Why do we come from Sabbath to worship? What is our purpose? What is our goal? And there are answers to the who, what, where, when, and why of the church. I want you to know that. I want to read a statement from Ellen White from Acts of Apostles, page 9, to kind of put it in perspective. The church is God's appointed agency for the salvation of men and women. It was organized for service, and its mission is to carry the gospel to the world. From the beginning, it has been God's plan that through his church shall be reflected to the world his fullness and his sufficiency. The members of the church, those whom he has called out of darkness into his marvelous light, are to show forth or to proclaim his glory. The church is the repository. That's a word we don't use much anymore. The church is the place where God deposits the riches of the grace of Christ. And through the church will eventually be made manifest even to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, the final and full display of the love of God. We are the depository, the place where God deposits the fullness of his grace. We need to receive his grace daily, hourly, every minute and second. I want to begin by letting you know that you are my opening sermon illustration this morning, okay? I want you to follow this carefully and closely so that you don't misunderstand what I'm asking of you. If you came to Christ, that is, became a Christian, without the help of another person, that would mean that you would have come to Christ because of a dream, because you experienced a personal miracle with no one else praying for you, because you were reading your Bible by yourself. If you came to Christ without the help of a single person, would you please stand? That's amazing. No one. Well, let me go one more. If you became a Seventh-day Adventist without the help of another person helping you to explain what we believe as a church, in other words, once again, it would have to have been through a dream, a visit by an angel, a miracle, or by reading the Bible for yourself, would you please stand? Try one more. If your faith in Christ... If your faith in Christ has grown more mature without the help of another person, again, through a dream, miracle, visit of an angel, reading the Bible, without another person helping you grow, would you please stand? That means I get to help keep my job and keep working with you in the church, right? Isn't that a powerful point? Jesus has given us three invitations. We're going to come back to this illustration at the end of the sermon, but Jesus has given us three invitations. The first one is found in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. He says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." There isn't a single human being who, because of sin, who, because of heartache, who, because of sorrow, who, because of the cares that the world places on us, there isn't a single person who isn't heavy laden, who doesn't need to come to Jesus, because only He can give us rest. Now, this verse is not the only place that this invitation is given. It's given in a variety of ways. This invitation was given when the disciples were trying to keep the mothers from bringing their children to Jesus. And Jesus said, let the little children what? Come to me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. It was given in John chapter 5, verses 39 to 40, when he was talking to the scribes and Pharisees. And he says, you search the scriptures for truth. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. But they testify of me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you might have life. Now that's in the negative, but it's the same invitation, is it not? It's given in a different way in John 1, verse 12. It says, as many who as believed or trusted in his name or his character, he gave the right to become children of God. To trust in the character of Jesus is to come to Jesus, is it not? When he was ministering to others, he came upon a man with a withered hand, and he said to that man, come to me, so that he could be healed. When he was talking at the woman at the well, and after he'd come to the point where he said to her, it's not just that you're not married, you've had five husbands and the person you're living with is not married to at this time. Then he said, go get him and then both of you come to me. In the parables of the wedding invitation, Jesus said, send out the invitation so that all can come to me. In the parable of the good shepherd, he said, I know my sheep by name, and I call my sheep. And the implication, they are called to come to Jesus, right? The gospel story is filled with Jesus giving the invitation to people to come to me. There's another invitation. It's found in Mark chapter 1, verse 17. Jesus is walking on the shore of the beach, and he comes across some fishermen, and it says, Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Follow me. The first invitation, come to me. The second invitation, follow me. This isn't the only place he gives it. When he first called the first disciples, he gave it when he called Matthew at his tax booth. He gave it when a scribe came to him and said, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And he said, really? Will you follow me? Then follow me now. And another person said, well, wait a minute. I've got to go bury my parents. Somebody else said, wait a minute. I've got to take care of something at my home. And Jesus said, no, it's you follow me now. Follow me. He said it to the rich young ruler when the rich young ruler said, what must I do to be saved? And he says, give up your wealth and come follow me. He said it to the Greeks that Andrew brought to Jesus and Philip brought to Jesus. He said, take up your cross and follow me. He said it after the Last Supper to his disciples, and he said it again to Peter on the beach when he reinstalled him as a disciple. Follow me. The question becomes, what does it mean to follow Jesus? Let me tell you first what it does not mean. It does not mean we always go where Jesus went. We can't. He's in heaven. It does not mean you ask the question, what would Jesus do? If the disciples had asked that question, they wouldn't have had a clue what it meant. It's not what would Jesus do, it's what would Jesus have me do. What does Jesus want me to do? What does it mean to follow Jesus? As I was thinking about all the times that Jesus said, come to me and follow me, my mind was going through Jesus' life and ministry. And maybe what we need to do to learn what it means to follow Jesus is to pick up the gospel and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and see how Jesus lived his life and conducted his ministry to look on as if we were one of the disciples following Jesus and to see how Jesus interacted with people, how he responded to them, how he was sensitive to them, how he asked them questions, how he entered into their lives. Maybe if we took it and took those Gospels and studied it from that standpoint, just to see how Jesus responded to people, we might know how we're to follow him more now. Jesus responded to people always, always, always out of compassion and sensitivity and love. Jesus did not call people and tell people, come follow me or else my Father's going to get you. He didn't appeal to people out of fear that they would be lost. Jesus appealed to people to come and follow him that they might have life and that they might have it how? More what? Abundantly. Not just in heaven, but in the here and now. The invitation to follow Jesus is an invitation he gives to you and to me today. There is a third invitation. It's found in Matthew 28, 19 to 20. It's often referred to as the Gospel Commission. He says, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, all peoples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Another way, if you were to give what the original words mean, you could say immersing them in the character of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. The third invitation is that we are to go with Jesus to tell others. We are to go with Jesus to tell others. Again, that's found throughout his ministry when he was on this earth. He called the disciples when he first started going his ministry. He called them, and then after they were with him a while, he sent them out to cities for them to perform miracles. And they weren't always successful. And sometimes they were afraid. From the very beginning, he told the disciples, come with me because I'm going to preach in these cities. He sent out the 72 and told them what they should do and that he would be with them as they went. To the two demoniacs that he cast out the demons, when they wanted to go with him and the disciples, he said, no, you go back to your family and to your friends and you tell them what I have done for you. That is at the heart of what it means to be a witness for Jesus Christ. We must tell others what he has done for us. And we must be able to share what he has done for us. You need to think about what God has done for you in your relationship with him. I want you to notice what he says from there, other times from there, when he says, go with me. He says, in the parable, the lost sheep, he said that the good shepherd went out and found the sheep who was lost. We are invited to do the same. In the parable of the wedding banquet, he said, go on the highways and the byways and invite all to come into the banquet. To the women in the garden when they came and found the tomb empty, he said, go and tell my disciples and Peter that I will meet them at Galilee. He gave the great commission we just read. And at the ascension in Acts chapter 1, he says, you are to go and be my witnesses in Jerusalem, your hometown, in Judea, the areas around, in Samaria, the place that people wouldn't think would respond to God, and to all the ends of the earth. Come to me is the first invitation. Follow me is the second invitation. Go with me is the third invitation. And what's interesting is that we need all three if we're to live the Christian life we're called to live. We need to respond to all three. If we never come to Jesus, you can't follow him. If you never follow Jesus, you can't go with him. And if you come to him, you have to follow him. And if you go with him, you're going to realize you need to come to him again and again so that you can learn what it means to follow him. Do you see the point? If you leave one of these out, if you refuse any of these invitations, Your life as a Christian will not be as fulfilled as it would otherwise. As you think about these invitations, on more than one occasion, come to me, follow me, and go with me, we're all included at the same time. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. A text we've already read, but we only read verse 28. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." Then he said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Now, the imagery of an oak was that when a farmer wanted to had a new cow or a new steer, and he wanted to have that oxen learn how to be used to plow, they would put a yoke on the oxen, and the one who was trained, the oxen that was trained, would be put on one side and have a little bit tighter harness. And he would be used to train the one who didn't know how to work. And they would be put side by side in that yoke until it came a time when the new oxen could then be placed and carry the work alone. Do you see how this fits into the "follow me"? "Come alongside me," Jesus said. "Follow me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." And there, the yoke he had, the yoke he was given, was to come to seek and to save the lost. And he's invited us to follow him, to come alongside with him, so that we can go out and to seek and to save the lost and do the work he did. In the scripture that Daniel read this morning, it mentioned that we will do greater works than Jesus did. That would sound as blasphemy if Jesus himself hadn't said it. That sounds like it's undoable, but Jesus said it, did he not? I want you to notice, the greater work we do is not that we do greater miracles of superhuman strength. The greater work we do is inviting people to come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, to make the decision to follow him versus following the world. And so, the first invitation, "come to me," includes "follow me" in this verse, and it also includes going with him. The second invitation, and calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone would come after me," that's "come to me," "let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." That's obvious. "For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's." How do we lose our lives? We lose our lives in service to others. Do you see that? There's another text that we generally place with the third invitation. "Rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he," Jesus, "departed and went out to a desolate place. And there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him." They came to him, and they found him, and they said to him, "Everyone's looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns." They followed him. "That I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and casting out demons. They went with him. Do you see them all there? When you study the gospel message, you'll discover that it happens that way over and over again. Those three invitations of Jesus: come to me, follow me, go with me. What are the three invitations of Jesus? Who's he giving that invitation to? Okay, you said us, and that's good. Let's make it more personal. Who's he giving that invitation to? Absolutely. Absolutely. I want to go back to the passage that Daniel read this morning. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me," isn't that "come to me?" "will also do the works that I do," follow me, "and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." That is, go with me, is it not? I'm going to go back to our opening illustration. If you came to Christ, became a Christian, with the help of other people in the Corona Church, or if you're visiting in your home church, that is through parents, family, friends, pastors, teachers, church members, summer camp staff, etc., church school teachers. If you came to Christ because of, with the help of other people, would you please stand? What a difference, right? Okay. If you have grown in your faith with the help of other people in the Corona Church or in your home church through parents, family, pastors, etc., please remain standing or at least raise your hand in praise to God for those people. All right? Do you get my point? When you start talking about personal evangelism and personal witnessing, and you may be seated now, so many times people say, I am just going to live my life, and that's my witness. While it is important that we have our witness be consistent with how we live our lives, Scripture is clear. Paul says in Romans chapter 10, how can anyone hear unless someone tells them? How can anyone know unless someone goes to them? How beautiful are the feet of those who proclaim the gospel. And the proclamation of the gospel does not have to wait until you have all the answers. No one has all the answers. The proclamation of the gospel is a proclamation that must be relational. It must show people how God loves them and why God loves them. And it must be to their speak to their needs. And we are going to be talking about that throughout this series. While we as a Seventh-day Adventist church have a message to give to people about who God is and the character of God through our beliefs and what we hold as our doctrines, people will only be ready to hear those doctrines when they know that we care about them and that we have an interest in them and their lives. And that only happens when we interact with other people. Do you understand that? When you follow Jesus in the Gospels, Jesus seldom invites people to come to him in the same way. He seldom addresses them in the same way. He seldom meets their needs in the same way. Why? Because we're all individually different, and we all have our own unique needs that must be addressed. So this morning, to this church family, I want to give a challenge. Sharon and Glenn have done so much for our church by giving the invitation to go to third world countries to build churches and to build schools. And when we go, we come back blessed because we've seen God at work. And the rest of the year, most of us come to church week by week and we wonder if we can make a difference in people's lives at all. And yet, at the same time, when you stood up, you said that people in the Corona Church have impacted your spiritual lives. Isn't that amazing and wonderful? This morning, I was blessed by hearing Daniel read the scripture. And if you know his story, you are impacted by it too, right? As I heard the Hansons sing, I was impacted because I know their story a little bit. And they're friends of mine. Do you understand my point? Next week, we're going to talk about the eyes have it. There are three eyes we need to keep in mind as we live our lives day by day. And those three eyes we'll talk about next week. But we don't need to just wait until one or a two-week period in July when we go to have mission. We need to build a church here, not the outward building. We need to invite people to come to Jesus and to be part of this church family who live in our area. There are people out there who are poor in spirit and do not know it. And so many of them are so turned off by Christianity because they've never ever been treated with love and respect by Christians. We must fulfill the commission we've been given. And so, I'm going to invite you, and Dennis, come on up. When we go every summer to our mission team, there's a song we sing that says, "Here I am. Here I am, Lord. It is I, Lord." I want that song to become the song of this church, where we are saying as a church body, "Lord, we are here because we are accepting the invitation to come to you. We are here because we're accepting the invitation to follow you, and we are here because we've accepted the invitation to go with you." And while we all have different personalities, we all have different temperaments, we all can serve God in a variety of ways if we're looking for ways to serve. So if you are willing to accept the invitation that Jesus gives this morning to come to him, to follow him, and to go with him, would you stand as we sing, "Here I Am"?